It's August. August 16th. It's about 7:41 in the morning. And I wanted to catch a few notes. I think I started out by considering that by setting forth. Okay, so change the course of thought, you change the course of events. So what I was thinking was by presenting a premise, in some respects, I'm programming. I mean, that's kind of, I think, the seed of where this train of thought kind of got on the tracks. And, that kind of made me think of a number of other influences, aspects, like, of course, primarily if you change the course of thought, then you change the course of events. But then it was directly, to me, it was directly related to the choice of first magnitude, the what we choose as our standard of measure. And then, of course, related to that is the cascade effect. The effect, of course, is directly related to if you change the course of thought, then you change the course of events, because our thoughts are what guide our actions, and then actions are the impact that those actions have is the course of events. So I was kind of, stirring all this around, and so going back to the seed of by presenting a premise, in some respects, it's programming. I mean, it's if you move someone, their con the, you know the whole concept of conversion is that the references around which their lives revolve become evolved, and that's exaltation. That's enlightenment. So, but what? While I was processing these thoughts, it occurred to me that, so I was thinking, okay, so there's, a game is a way to think about something that's complex. It's so basically, I guess, in some respects, it's a way of framing it, or it's a way of structuring the dynamics that are taking place. I think that's the whole reason that game theory has become a valuable tool, a way of gaining insight into those dynamics, especially into something that appears, at least on the surface, is very complex. A lot of moving parts. So then I was thinking, okay, so you have the game. Worldwide reality game is what one way I referred to it. And so usually with, so there was many things that came in, I said, in studying some of the best marketing ploys, or what I think may even be called guerrilla marketing nowadays, they talked about the success that was gained with the treasure hunt. And of course, that fit right in with the model that I developed with the unclaimed inheritance and lost treasures. Unclaimed inheritance being singular, because unclaimed inheritance, the playground for the children, can only be brought about. In other words, you can only stake a claim collectively under the collective power of we agree. We would have to agree on what that state of affairs would look like. It would be our vision of the playground for the children and how we share that playground. The work play of lost treasures is plural because we can stake a claim, each individual can stake a claim to that on an individual basis, on a personal basis. It doesn't take agreement from others, at least at the foundation. If it's work play, you have to be, I think it would require a product or a service that others find valuable, and that's the only way that that particular work play would be viable. Of course, I guess if you're completely independent, living as a loner, there may be some exceptions to that, but that's getting kind of off the track. So I was trying to kind of think about this stacked. The stacked elements or the contributing factors that come into this. So if you accept, so let me step back. So my notes say if the individual accepts the premise of the suggestion, then they become cast into the role that that supports the premise. And that's kind of that statement about if they accept the premise of the suggestion, then they become cast into a role that supports that premise. Led me back to the choice of first magnitude, which was our standard of measure. How we measure or take measure of our life and times. And so part of what that made me think about was the privileged class. One of the things, it's like I remember a show, Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous. And so, and even on a current show, at Shark Tank, I think it's called, at the beginning, during their little promo of showing the different characters that sit on the panel. They're showing, again, I think it's about the standard of measure. They're showing the jets and the mansions, and I think all of this is, it's about accepting we, here, sitting in front of that programming, in front of that show, that we're accepting the premise that the people who accumulate these tokens of their success in the financial, social, economic system, they're of a higher class than the people who don't have access to that level of consumption, what I sometimes would consider excessive consumption. So again, even, I think what I'm trying to get out here in a very bumpy manner is that when you sit down in front of the show, Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous, or Shark Tank, or anything, and you, it's these moving pictures, it's these fast frames of references that they're throwing out, and they're reference points. And if you accept the if you accept the premise that that's what makes someone successful, then you're accepting a role in that social economic model. And of course, part of that typically would be to attain to that level of consumption. And sometimes it's not clear enough, unfortunately, in my opinion, that the path to that level of consumption, how you get there, perhaps may not matter. It's just that you get there. I think that's kind of what I say about it. It seemed like that's kind of what happened. At least that's what I feel like I witnessed during the 80s. It didn't matter how you got it. All that mattered is that you got it. But you see, that to me, it's a false, it's unfulfilling. I think to me, the whole concept of command performances and peak experiences is where the true fulfillment comes from. It's not from the stuff. And I guess I just wish that they would emphasize that more. You know, I guess what I'm kind of thinking in this, you know, is like each of these entrepreneurs, they've created a structure. Most likely created a structure that, you know, they created employment opportunities for others, and perhaps even opportunities within this organization that they've initiated, where some of their associates, if not many of their associates, are able to experience peak performances, command performances, and peak experiences, to present a command performance and experience a peak experience where they're contributing to the livelihood, their own livelihood, the livelihood and viability of the organization, the company, whatever it may be, based on the platform that this entrepreneur initiated and launched. That's the part that I think, you know, I don't know, just, you know, I guess what I'm saying is maybe showing the guy with the limo or the high-performance sports car or whatever sitting on the tarmac next to his private jet, you know, okay, I get it, you know, the toys, it's fun to have nice toys. But how about, along with that, mixing in some testimonials from different associates that have worked with some of these people, worked within the organization and been mentored, or maybe in some respects mentored each other. You know, iron sharpens iron, and talk about how much it's meant to them to evolve and to evolve within the organization and to contribute to the organization evolving and growing. Anyway, so going back to the initial, so I was thinking, okay, so it's a game. Okay, so I'm saying, and the point is, I was thinking in the beginning, I was thinking, well, I'm going to be programming. If they accept the premise, then they're being programmed. They're being cast into roles. It's going to impact their course of thought, and therefore it will influence it. It will guide their actions, and therefore change the course of events. But then I realized, well, no, this is nothing new. They're already in the game, and all that is already taking place. We're already subject to all this programming. It's just that I'm offering a little different perspective, and perhaps, you know, from that perspective, a little different vision, a different view. So So let me just kind of summarize by saying, okay, so there's the game. Within the game, there's what's to be gained and what's at risk to be lost. I think that's important to stand and point to. You know, that's part of what I'm doing here. I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to present this. You know, you are here. We're born into the human condition, into an inherent set of circumstances, and part of that is this complex dynamic, which in order to help to gain insight into that complex dynamic, there are people, and I believe I'm of this subset of this class that tend to structure or organize it as a game to help to better understand it and to have command within it. Okay, so then there's the treasure hunt. There's what's to be gained and then what's at risk. And of course, the conflict of forces was how I set the bookends for that. It's sustainability versus extinction. The sustainability is the teleological purpose of existence, which I believe is materialized creative consciousness. So can that, it's a chance for that to be sustained. And then on the other bookend, it's extinction. That if we are not wise enough in our, what's that word? Stewardship of our realm, our world, then it can lead to our destruction, to extinction, which of course I want, you know, if we talk about the playground for the children, I would like to see that sustained as long as possible. Okay, so that was, you know, the treasure hunt, what's to be gained, and then the risk, what's at risk, what can be lost. And then within that, I think drilling down the third layer of, you know, recognizing we attempt to understand it by exploring it through the structure of game theory. And then there's the prize, the sustainability of the playground for the children. Materialize creative consciousness, that what's at risk, collapse, extinction, and then drilling down to what I think is the last level that I'm going to cover in this summary. That's the we puzzle it out. We, you know, that's how we, you know, there's, is it worth, you know, it's okay. Inquiry, that's the first level. We make an inquiry, and then through the results of that inquiry, and of course, the power's in the questions, how we frame the question. The question frames the answer. So, without quality questions, you get crappy answers. So during that initial inquiry, if we have framed quality questions, we get quality answers that we're seeking. That's the quest. You know, that's the root word of question. We question. And then, based on those results, we determine if it justifies an investigation. To vet it, investigate, to discover. And that's really the basis of all this. It's discovery. So we puzzle it out. So, and as above, so below. So the way I structured for myself how I work the puzzles, as above, I chose the connect the dots puzzle because it's points of reference. It's those standard references that our lives revolve around. As above, this is what this is. Everything begins as a thought. This is change the course of thought. Thoughts guide our actions. So as above, that's the thought realm. That's the thought instruments. That again, choice of first magnitude. It's the standard of measure that we use as a measure of our life and times, our character and our competence. And then as below, so as above, so below, I chose as that puzzle the jigsaw puzzle, and I partly chose that because of operational platforms. The jigsaw puzzle is framed, and so I could look at family, different levels of boundary layers, of boundaries between operational platforms, whether they are family, friends, community, career. You can have a church community. You can, it's your associates and work, and all the way up to the global. And in the end, I guess the universe. So as above, these references, principles, and priorities that our lives revolve around, thoughts guide our actions. We prioritize what, it's our intention, that's the thought, that's the idea, that's the references, principles, and priorities. That's the intention. So then in the material world, as above, so below, it's what receives our attention. So that's the realm in which we have impact. And in closing, I share a story with a client about a Chesapeake Bay story about the sailboat that ran aground and the other captain of a boat that offers his help for a fee. And when the work is done, the captain of the boat that had run aground said to the captain that had rescued him that it seemed to him that the fee was kind of high considering what he did, what it took to get him off the sandbar. And the captain of the rescue vessel said, "You're not paying me for what I did. You're paying me for what I knew to do and how to and my skill to skillfully execute what I did in order not to do any damage to your vessel. That's what you're paying me for." And I think that's the part of the character and competence that, as above, that's the character part. And then the so below, that's, you have the thought instruments, but, and that's the character part, the principles and priorities of enduring and endearing. The enduring and endearing principles and practices. But then in application, you have to, it takes skill. That's the competence. So it's that delicate balance. There's that magic. There it is again. That's when the magic happens. It's that delicate balance. And so I think that story well framed an understanding, or could possibly well frame an understanding of it takes the character, the knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. It's the knowing, but then it also takes the skill of doing. You know, it's one isn't enough. You have to have both. And it was funny because after I shared that story with my client, he commented to me, "I get it." So, of course, you never really know truly what someone gets. You're not in their head, so to speak. But it's a way of sharing. It's a way of sharing treasure, really. I mean, that's, to me, again, you know, it kind of reminds me of the story I talked about Mr. Knopf, and later in year, you know, him standing back and saying, you know, "I want you to remember that you helped build that." And then later in years, during the conversation where people were talking about welfare recipients, people on welfare and food stamps and subsidized housing, how they were getting over on the system. And it occurred to me that, well, yeah, there's some truth to that. Again, it's another one of those half-truths, but they're also being cheated. They're being cheated of the opportunity to contribute, to present command performances and enjoy peak experiences. So again, this is all, so much of this is how it's framed and how easy it is to take things out of context and present them as truth, when in fact, in my view, from my perspective, it's a half-truth. There's truth in it, but it's not the whole truth. And it's beguiling. I think that's why I came down to the two-character, archetypical character types, the avatar and the troll. One works to inspire and the other works to conspire. And of course, I think half-truths are a powerful way to position individuals and beguile them and misdirect them and misinform them. Well, I think I pretty much talked that out. That's all for today. Or at least this morning, signing off.